Since the TRC released its 94 calls to action in 2015, Toronto-based historian Ian Mosby has been tracking how many have been completed. Last year, Ian used online research and data presented by lawyers, librarians, and archivists to determine how much progress had been made. The results were pretty disappointing. He checked into it again last week. Hello, Ian.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. First, what sparked your interest in seeing the calls to action implemented?
Well, a few years ago, I published an article that helped to uncover a series of nutrition experiments that were conducted on Indigenous children in residential schools during the 1940s and 1950s. And since that was published, I've had the opportunity and privilege to speak to survivors around the country who were part of these experiments and who have sort of testified to me about their experience in residential schools. And it really hit home to me how important Canada's responsibilities to meet these 94 calls to action are. You know, I think about that survivor testimony and what survivors have done to give us the TRC. As a settler and as a historian, I think it's really important that we ensure that this report doesn't go the way of other reports like the Royal Commission on Aboriginal Peoples.
Tell me about one survivor or story that you heard that really hit home for you and made you really want to dig into this kind of research.
There's so many stories. One bit of testimony was a survivor who I never actually met, but his son, John Moses, sent me a memoir written by a residential school survivor from the Mohawk Institute named Russell Moses, in which he describes his experience at the Mohawk Institute during the 1940s. And he describes, the most horrific conditions and levels of hunger that are just unbelievable. And, it brought tears to my eyes when I first read it. And once I started traveling around the country, I realized that this was a common theme, from survivors, no matter where they were. The abuse at these schools was total. It went beyond the physical and sexual abuse that people often associate with residential schools. It was the fact that children were, going hungry while at school. It was the fact that the types of day-to-day inhumanity that these children were faced with. This started to make me realize, trying to reconcile with that, with what happened at these schools, this is a necessary undertaking. This is something that Canadians have to do.
And in terms of the 94 calls to action, why did you want to track whether they had been addressed or not?
Well, I was presenting a paper at a conference on the topic of reconciliation. And so to prepare for it, I started looking around thinking, someone must be keeping track of this. And it turned out, nobody had been keeping track of it, in fact.
Nobody.
And I expected media organizations or journalists to be looking into it. And so, I decided I would try to do it myself and, use Twitter to crowdsource information. And that's how I came up with the, last year, that list of five calls to action that have been completed. And one thing has changed since then. The National Center for Truth and Reconciliation has started to set up on their website a sort of a monitor of the calls to action, which shows which types of actions have been done, which types of actions have been promised. And that's, been a huge help this time in assessing how many of the calls to action have actually been completed.
Now, I just want to highlight a couple things you just said. You said that when you started this, no one was keeping track of these. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And at the time that you started to try to track them, how many did you find complete then?
Five.
Five of them.
Yeah.
In 2016, you did a tally of how many calls have been implemented, and this week you repeated the count. What did you find?
I was pretty disappointed. I actually expected there to be many more calls to have been completed, because I know that there are, a number of groups, both government and civil society, who are working on calls to action. But in fact, I found only two additional calls have been completed, so seven.
Seven calls to date have been completed in the past 2 years.
Yeah, it's been 869 days since these calls to actions were released by the TRC, and seven have been completed.
And which ones were those?
So, for instance, the launching of the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Inquiry, that was a call to action. There was a number of calls to action aimed at churches, in which churches would make statements about the adoption of the United Nations Declaration of Indigenous Peoples, for instance, in which they would disavow themselves from the idea of terra nullius and the doctrine of discovery. You know, and there's a few other ones which are much simpler. For instance, that the Aboriginal Peoples Television Network continue to do the work that it's doing, that the Council of Ministers of Education, I believe it's called, continues to do the work that they're doing. But one thing that the calls to action that have been completed have in common is they're either very simple to complete or they're calls for things that were already happening to continue.
So in terms of new and more challenging calls, what would you say is the status on those?
In general, many of the most important calls, the calls that are really at the base of what the TRC was trying to do, have not been met. And those are calls, for instance, to have equal education funding for Indigenous children, mm-hmm. the implementation of Jordan's principle, the reform of the legal system that currently disproportionately sees Indigenous people incarcerated. You know, these are the calls to action that are really at the heart of what needs to be done. And those ones have not been completed.
Were you surprised by these results?
Yeah, I honestly had hoped that more was being done. There's a number of these calls that are actually, you know, quite simple, you know, require simple changes in law or you know, statements by the government. There's a lot more that Canadians can be doing. And one thing that really surprised me, I think, the most is there's not even any information about plans to implement these. You know, I kind of expected that, you know, the groups who the calls to action were aimed at, whether it's the federal government or municipal governments, that they would actually be addressing this right now, you know, with a plan in place saying, you know, we plan to have this call to action completed by X date. It will cost this much money and we're taking these current steps. And that's not being done.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is a realistic timeline to implement these calls to action? Is it even possible?
I think it's possible. I think many of them are extremely difficult. They require coordination of multiple levels of government, and that's fine as long as people say that we have a plan to do it and this is our plan. Some of them can be implemented immediately. Some of them will take years, but Canadians need to know that it's actually being done. And if they're not going to complete them, to say we're not doing this and give a reason why, because I think Canadians also have a right to know that.
Now, as you said, you yourself described as a settler. You've taken on this work, simply doing this research and putting out this information and updating people is a lot of energy to expel. What would you say to somebody who says, this is not my responsibility, I didn't do anything wrong, my ancestors thousands of years ago, blah, 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 get over it?
This is, reconciliation now is up to settlers. You know, residential school survivors, Indigenous peoples have done all the hard work so far. The TRC, people poured out their hearts, you know, at great cost to themselves to tell the true story of what happened in residential schools. And the rest of, you know, this is up to non-Indigenous Canadians. And I think, you know, it's the very least that we can do, you know, to try to make right, you know, what the Truth and Reconciliation Commission itself described as a cultural genocide. You know, we're talking about Canada making amends for a genocide, and that's going to require work. It's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require, you know, Canadians to start giving things up that they take for granted. One of the things people ask me, what should I do? Well, go read the calls to action, find one that you think is really important, and, you know, push to make sure that it actually gets implemented. There's a lot of different things we can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ian, thank you very much for doing your part and sharing that with us today.
Thank you so much.
Ian Mosby is a historian of food, health, and colonialism and has a PhD from York University in Toronto.